Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. I've got some Jake Fromm stats for you guys here in just a second. But this is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies, please, guys, will be accepted now, of course, here at the station, at the Game Studios, 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. Please bring toys, winter clothing, or school supplies. Donations will benefit our kids, the charity that I work for, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. Also donate, of course, throughout the week, anywhere and everywhere. So please, please bring some stuff for the homeless, for some kids that are abused, and, of course, for kids in school. Teachers pay for stuff out of their own pockets, which is completely unacceptable. And so let's help out with some school supplies, some warm clothing, and some toys for some kids. How about that? Sound pretty good? Hal Gill going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes from now. The Predators not back on the ice until Saturday night against P.K. Subban and the Devils. They come into town. Will be interesting to see P.K. Subban, who, by the way, has played all 27 games for the New Jersey Devils. He has only 5 points and a minus 12 plus minus. So we'll see what they have in store for P.K. over the weekend. Some Jake Fromm stats for you guys. As Georgia and LSU get set to play in the SEC championship game on Saturday, and if LSU's in, if Georgia wins, they're in. If Georgia loses, they're out. Mm-hmm. So it is a playoff game for Georgia. Two SEC teams could get in should Georgia win the game. Here's the equation for Georgia, and this stems from Jake Fromm, the quarterback of your Georgia Bulldogs. Listen to these numbers. 36-1 as a starter when he throws 30 or fewer passes. 36-1. When he throws more than 30 passes in a game in his career, 0-5.
Oh.
0-5. One game this year, he threw an interception, and that was South Carolina, and they lost because he threw three interceptions in that game. One of them probably should have not been an interception. But that was a weird game with a lot of weird calls. Georgia has never has not allowed more than 20 points to anyone at any point during the year. South Carolina scored 20 points on Georgia. That was the most points anyone has scored on Georgia, on the Georgia defense. Georgia's defense is electric. So the formula for Georgia against LSU, Jake Fromm, 30 or fewer passes, and LSU under 30 points. Can Georgia win like that?
If their defense is playing lights out, there's a possibility, yeah. They got to get turnovers, and Joe Burrow hadn't turned the ball over much this year. He's really good at decision-making, especially at critical times of the game. His critical thinking skills as a quarterback is off the charts. They did this thing with their players at LSU, and they probably do it at other places where they put these goggles on them, and they measure how well they process information and how quickly they get to whatever they need to get to on the field. And this is some new thing they're doing. And they said that Joe Burrow is his critical thinking skills is off the
processing
charts.
Speed.
Yeah, it's off the charts, and it has shown in games. So even as good as Georgia defense is, Burrow's is better. And can they win by running the ball that many times, controlling the clock? Yeah, there's a possibility. But I just think that LSU's the offense is just too good. And LSU will force Jake Fromm to beat them. I think they're going to stack the line of scrimmage and force Jake Fromm to throw the football. And I don't think Jake Fromm is going to beat you throwing the football. Well, the numbers bear it out.
Yeah, I mean, when he throws the ball more than 30 times, he's 0-5 as a starter.
Yeah.
Now, he's also brilliant at getting his team into the right play at the line of scrimmage. What I love about Jake Fromm, what he's so good at, he may not have the big elite, you know, first-round NFL arm. You know, they certainly, Coach Kirby Smart clearly calls the game in a conservative way, and he wants to lean on defense, no question about it. But what Jake Fromm does extremely well is he sees the play before the play happens. He is great at the line of scrimmage before the play happens. He knows if he's got a corner coming off a blitz off the edge that he can dump it off to DeAndre Swift. And, like, he knows that's his read before anybody else does. So he's great at that. And he's been under 50% completion percentage in four straight games. It's not like he's even playing his best football right now. But this Georgia defense is ridiculously good. Now, Auburn went into Baton Rouge and lost 23-20 to LSU. They held Joe Burrow and that LSU offense to 23 points. If Georgia can do that, then I think they can win the game. LSU had over 500 yards of offense in that game. They only got 23 points on Auburn, but they had over 500 yards of offense.
Yeah, you're right. And I read this last night, and because I was looking at, you know, Joe Burrow and basically, you know, because of a conversation we had, Corey Curtis and I had about quarterbacks yesterday, and would you draft Tua Tagovailoa, knowing his injury history and all that other stuff? But yeah, the talent is off the charts with Tua.
I mean, if the doctors tell me he's good, I'm taking him. Exactly. I got no problem with that.
But I was looking at Joe Burrow, and you know, I love PFF, Pro Football Focus. Some people love it, some people don't. Some people put a lot of stock in it, some people don't.
Well, I'm a numbers nerd.
Yeah,
so
you love it.
Yeah, you got to sell me on it.
Burrow's is the nation's highest graded passer throws targeted 10 or more yards down the field. And on all throws, he also leads the country with 28 big-time throws. This guy, he doesn't make mistakes. He makes the throws that wins games. We saw it week in and week out. We saw it in the Auburn game. Big throw after big throw against a really good defense. We saw it in the Alabama game. Big throw after big throw after big throw. I think you're going to see it in this game. Big throw after big throw after big throw, because he understands his offense. He processes very quickly. And then he has players that these wide receivers got so much confidence, man. It's pathetic.
Yeah, Chase Marshall and Jefferson.
These guys feel you can't cover us.
Randy Moss's kid is a tight end. Yeah. He's got an NFL potential career, Thaddeus Moss. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who just all he does is fall forward and pick up yards. I mean, they are the best offense in America. Georgia might be the best defense in America.
No, you're right.
And I can't wait for Saturday, man. I can't wait. Because here's the thing. If you want to see Utah, I got no problem with that in the playoff. If you want to see Oklahoma in that offense, Utah in that defense, something new in the playoff, I'm okay with that. I got no problems with that. Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson are basically already locked into three spots. There's one spot left. I think Georgia presents the best challenge to anybody else. I think Georgia's the best team of any of those other teams. And if Utah had to play LSU in its championship game, it wouldn't make the playoff either. It's the same argument for Georgia last year. They lost to Alabama close in the SEC title game, and that's what kept them out of the playoff. If anybody else had played Alabama, they would have been kept out of the playoff too.
Yeah.
In their championship game. But no, Ohio State played Northwestern or whatever, you know, whatever it was. So it's just, you know, Clemson played Pittsburgh last year. Like this isn't Alabama. Georgia had to play Alabama last year in the SEC title game. Now they got to play LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if Georgia wins, I think that gives us the best two games. It gives us the best set of playoff teams. I think Georgia has clearly shown that they are a better team than Utah and Oklahoma and Baylor, but they're not going to get in if they lose. And unfortunately, you got to go through LSU. Mm-hmm. So I am. It is not an anti-LSU feeling. It is I want to see the best playoff games. And I think if Georgia wins, that gives us the best playoff. That's not a knock on LSU. It's just I'd like to see the best games. I think if Utah plays Ohio State in the first round,
Ohio State's going to beat them.
I know.
Hands down.
And I love Utah. I want to see, but Ohio State's going to crush them.
Yeah.
I want to see better games. And so if LSU loses, Georgia wins, you probably have Ohio State 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3, LSU 4. And then you get LSU Ohio State in the first round. Sign me up. And you get Georgia Clemson in the first round.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Who wouldn't want?
Up for that. I'm all in, man. So I'm not anti LSU. I love your program. I love Joe Burrow, but I am rooting for Georgia this weekend. just because I want to see better games.
I get it. From a better game standpoint, I get what you're saying. I just think Clemson, LSU is going to beat them at 14 points.
14 and a half. I get Georgia plus 14 and a half for a bottle of bourbon.
Uh-huh.
You get LSU laying 14 and a half for a bottle of Grand Marnier.
There we go.
There you go. All right, when we come back, some Tennessee news. Juwan Jennings suspended, and Greg Schiano not letting sleeping dogs lie. We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Enter now at the GameNashville.com contest page for your chance to win your loved one the new Lexenhaus Day Spa in Franklin Holiday Retreat Package worth $415. Your special lady could receive a back, neck, and shoulder massage plus facial, manicure, and pedicure. Enter today on the contest page at thegamenashville.com.
I need one of those.
Yeah, I think I do,
back,
too.
Back, neck.
Pedicure?
Have you ever don't get pedicures.
Have you ever had a pedicure?
I have had two.
Have you ever had a manicure?
Yeah, once with my daughter.
I guess that's coming for me then soon.
Yeah,
at some point when my daughters
soon.
grow older.
And then another with when I was dating someone a while back. I had when he got a manicure and a pedicure.
There's a lot
one?
Of dudes that tell me that it's awesome that they love it.
Listen,
I have no desire.
My thing is,
but I have nasty fingernails. So.
If you feet. Wash your hands, you know, take a shower. When you're in the shower, wash your feet. Use good lotion. You'll be fine.
I've been told I have nice feet. I don't have dirty. I don't have disgusting feet. I keep my
feet
clean.
I have disgusting feet, but I just don't want nobody touching my feet. Yeah. So I mean, hands, yes.
So you would not do a pedicure. So you meet the one, Marquise. You take her out. You guys have you found out you've been dating a couple of months. And you're like, God, I love this woman so much. I'm probably gonna have to marry her. And she says, Hey, let's go get a pedicure together. You're just gonna be like, No.
If I had a gift card, yeah.
She better have nice feet.
All right, like
well,
that,
you don't have to touch her feet, though.
No, I got to look at them. If she doesn't have nice feet, I'm not dating.
Well,
not dating you.
But you would know that way earlier than the pedicure. You would assume you'd
seen
their
feet.
Well,
if it's in the wintertime, and she have on socks all the time.
You're still going to see her feet at some point.
You know what D-Mace just remind me of? He's Eddie Murphy in Boomerang.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what he did.
If you don't have pretty, I mean.
People are attracted to different parts of the body. I get that. That's okay. I'm assuming that Marquise, if Marquise has decided in his brain that he's about to marry this woman, I'm pretty sure he's seen her feet.
And
before.
You got to keep a manicure and a pedicure. You got to keep that going.
But not for you, though.
No, because I mean.
What's the equivalent that you're required to do on the male side of things? Keep your beard trimmed?
Keep my beard trimmed.
It's good for the goose.
Yeah. I think I got nice teeth, so that's not a problem.
Okay.
Smell good.
I like
smell
how he's just bragging. Yeah. He's
like, I got a nice beard. I got nice hands. I got nice feet. I got a nice shiny dome.
See, you don't like cologne. I love cologne.
I love cologne.
You guys wear cologne?
I wear cologne today. A cologne guy.
No, I'm a natural essence kind of guy.
Yeah, he's a, you know, he let his deodorant do
But I do not wear cologne. No, not since college. Maybe,
I was like,
maybe
you see, like you look like somebody who would like spray like the
yes.
Y'all want to host the show? Huh?
Some Old Spice.
When are y'all two knuckleheads gonna host?
Hey, don't get mad because you use Axe. My son uses Axe every now and then. Not anymore.
If you ever tell anyone else in my life that I've ever used Axe body spray, I will kill you. Murder.
Oh man, that's
homicide.
An insult.
Premeditated. I ain't never used no damn Axe body spray. I'm a Old Spice guy.
Oh man.
No, I am just deodorant. Just give me deodorant. I shower regularly and I wear deodorant and I wear clean clothing. It's really not that hard to not smell bad.
No, you're right.
I know teenagers don't know how to do that at first. They have to learn.
Yeah, they got
to
learn.
How
they don't care.
They don't realize that they really, really stink.
Yeah.
Like 14-year-old boys don't realize that they smell awful all the time. And you have to learn that you've got to shower and deodorize and antiperspirant.
You need all that good
stuff.
And
maybe you need the cologne then. That's why I wore it when I was in high school.
Yeah, don't be that kid in school that bathes in Axe body spray. Like, those kids are the worst.
All right, real quickly. Yeah, here, Juwan Jennings suspended for half of the bowl game for the intentional, not intentional step on the head of the Vanderbilt player. I think it's the right call. I don't think he deserved a full game suspension. But it clearly didn't look like it was, you know, a total accident either. I know this is going to upset both sides, and that's what makes me happy. Vanderbilt fans think it was like a crime punishable by death, and Tennessee fans think he was totally innocent and everything. Neither one of those two things is probably true. The reality of the Juwan Jennings incident is that it probably is right down the middle. He probably could have avoided it. He probably wasn't trying to hurt the guy. It was heat of the moment. He was losing his cool. So I think a half-game suspension for a guy's last game I don't think is that big of a deal. Considering what we've seen with Myles Garrett and some of the other fights that have gone on in college football this past weekend, I think it's about right. It's not going to make anybody happy, which means it's probably the right call.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, could he have avoided it? Possibly, yeah. You can look at the film and say, well, he meant to do it. You can also look at the film and say, well, he didn't.
He wasn't looking.
He didn't see him. So if that is indeed the case, then, you know, suspend him for the first half of the game. And it's fair. I think it's fair. You know, I would have hate to have seen in that situation the way everything happened for him to get suspended for the whole game. Then, you know, yeah, he's not practicing with the team. He's basically, his career's done.
Yep.
You know, and it, like you say, you can look at the film and you can come up with your own conclusion. And if that is the case, where one side is saying he did it, the other side is saying he's just somewhere in the middle.
Right. He's not a total criminal, and he's not completely innocent.
Absolutely.
There's a middle ground there. Greg Schiano also had his introductory press conference yesterday as the Rutgers head football coach, which ironically, he got the job because of fan outrage.
Mm-hmm.
The Rutgers fans were so outraged that the administration at Rutgers did not get the deal done with Greg Schiano that they protested and like sent in letters, and boosters were like, hey, I'm done with this school. I'm not contributing any more money. I'm not buying my season tickets. So fan outrage actually got him the job at Rutgers. He has a history there. He was very good there with when they were in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different animal now. He did have one little thing to say that I thought was of note for Tennessee fans at his press conference yesterday. Quote, when asked about the two different situations, fan outrage at Tennessee and, of course, the fan outrage at Rutgers for very different reasons. Quote, I think reflecting on it just shows Jersey people are a little sharper. They get it.
Yeah, now, that was a good dig right there.
I love it because it's a shot. I don't think it's accurate. I think Tennessee football fans, Southeastern Conference football fans, are far more passionate,
astute,
committed, dedicated, in fact, probably too much so in the Greg Schiano situation than anybody in New Jersey. And New Jersey, let's be fair, also has plenty of stereotypes as well that anybody in the South could heave back on social media if they want to get into a verbal sparring match with Rutgers fans. But listen, Greg Schiano's taking his victory lap. Tennessee fans took their victory lap every time Greg Schiano didn't get a job, even though they may have been totally out of line to do so. Greg Schiano, he might be out of line here, but he's taking his victory lap because he got a job, and it was because the fans wanted him so badly. And it's just the opposite of what happened to Tennessee. So, I would say take your medicine, Tennessee, and move on, because who cares? You got a guy that just won five straight and is recruiting well, has a good young freshman class. Jeremy Pruitt's your guy. You look like you're better off with Jeremy Pruitt than you were with Greg Schiano, so who cares?
Yeah, you're at the top. You're at the top of the building. You're looking down on Rutgers. Yes, Schiano made that comment. Just look down on him and just worry
just
about
laugh,
the program.
Move
yeah,
on.
Just laugh and move on. Don't take it to heart. You know, which some fans will, you know, they will look at what he said and be all, you know, get their underwear in a bunch.
Don't you feel like you do that, though, if you see that quote and you're offended by it, doesn't that mean sort of like somewhere in the back of your mind, you're like, man, maybe I overreacted that day?
You should be.
Doesn't that kind of, I mean, like, it's almost like an admission of guilt if you take that too personally.
Yeah,
Am I getting way too psychological?
No. For those who chose to conduct themselves in that way, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be. And because you cost the man an opportunity to have a job.
And maybe other opportunities.
Exactly. And you did not have the whole story. So, you should feel bad about yourself.
Well, and Tennessee fans didn't exactly, you know, we as a university, and I'll say we because I'm an alumni, the night Lane Kiffin left is when this all started. We acted like a bunch of idiots that night too.
Yeah,
like so much so that he had to have a police escort back to his house, for what reason? If you hated the guy and you didn't think he was a very good coach, why are you upset he's leaving?
You let him go.
Well, clearly you're upset he's leaving. This was about Greg Schiano not being a good football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I agree.
Made it about other things.
Right. I don't think Greg Schiano would have been a winner at Tennessee. I don't think he would have been the answer. I don't think he would have gotten them back to competing with Georgia and Florida in the SEC. We just never had that conversation because it you know, mushroom clouded into something else, about something else that may or may not be a real thing. If you really do a lot of research on it, it was a misleading headline by the Washington Post, and there was an investigation. I'm not going to go deep into it, but they really found nothing. And and it's unfortunate they will never really know the truth. Only Greg Schiano will know the truth about it. But, you know, you can't drag a guy's character through the mud and then expect him not to take a shot at you a couple years later.
Like, there was nothing done on Greg Schiano's end. Now, obviously, there were things done, but
as far as
Greg Schiano, there was nothing done
by him.
Nothing proven done by him. And for, you know, those UT fans or whatnot that chose to go down that route because you didn't think he was the best guy for the job, say that. Say, I don't think he's the best guy for the job.
To be honest, and Tennessee fans won't admit this, but that is really what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, we don't think he can win here. We don't want Greg Schiano as our coach. They found a convenient crutch to lean on and say, this is why we didn't want him. And I get it. I don't necessarily ignore that. I don't think you can ignore all the – his behavior for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is in question. Remember how he was treating players in Tampa Bay? So it wasn't against the Giants that he had somebody dive at Eli Manning when he was taking a knee? Didn't he have somebody do that when he was the coach of the Buccaneers?
I know he had the guys kind of rush on the kneel down.
Right, and people hated that. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of reasons you could say, I don't think Greg Schiano's the right answer. I'm not sure that's how that day went in hindsight. And so, again, we don't need to rehash it, but he did take a shot yesterday at his press conference. And you got to laugh at it and move on. That's all you can do. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe. Hal Gill going to join us when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Hal Gill joining us here on the show. Skillsy, of course, brought to you by Puckett's. Hal, how are you, sir? What's going on, man?
Not much. Just hanging out. We have a little break here, so it's some downtime I'm not used to.
Is it good for the players? I feel like I ask you this all the time about having a couple extra days of practice or downtime or whatever at this stage. Considering they've come out of the slump and are sort of back to at least playing, you know, they're not in a losing streak anymore. They've won some games, 7 out of 10 points, you know, and then they pick up another point against Tampa in a really good hockey game on Tuesday night, even though it didn't finish the way they wanted it to. What is this 3 days like for a player as you prepare for a bad New Jersey team on Saturday night?
Yeah, it's everything. If you're banged up and injured, it's everything. If you're hot, sometimes you don't want that long break, but I think it's awesome because you have – the way it works is, you know, usually coaches are smart, and I think Laviolette had them have a practice yesterday. Now they have today off. So you really – after you have a practice, you have a full 2 days where you're away from the rink, and that's kind of a nice break mentally – physically, of course, but mentally, it's really nice, and you need that this time of year. You know, it's been a grind for these guys, so a little time away from the rink is good. And then you gear back up, and you got a Friday practice and a Saturday game.
Now, Hal, we'll get to the X's and O's and whatnot, and kind of look back at what they did the past game. But I'm sure you've been a part of, you know, being at a team, getting traded or released or just leaving, and then going back to that team. Obviously, P.K. Subban will be coming back here to Nashville. What is that like for a player? I've been through it as a player coming back here, but explain to our listeners, what is it like for a player to come back to a place that he had a lot of success?
Yeah, no, it's you know, and P.K., if you remember when he was with Nashville and went back to Montreal, he was bawling his eyes out on the blue line. He's an emotional guy and kind of really embraces that spotlight and got emotional about it. You know, I assume he's going to have a little emotion and going through him coming back here. I think he really enjoyed his time here. And I mean, talk about having some success. He, you know, three really good years where he was, you know, 2017 was a great season for him and for the Preds. So I think it'll be nice for him. For me, I always, you know, it's nice to come around. It's kind of weird walking through the halls and you're on the other side. You know, it's just a different experience. And then once the game comes around, once you get into your warm-up, I found it, you know, you're just going out there playing the same game. And the fun part for me was figuring out who are my real friends and who are the guys that didn't like me. You know, you get a slash in the back of the leg and you're like, wait a second, last year we were buds. What's going on? And then it's kind of a different experience in that regard.
Hal Gill joining us here, presented by Puckett's. And what did you make of Kyle Turris's return to the lineup? Obviously, he was very productive on that line. And did you see what you need to see that maybe the coaching staff sees and says, hey, even with a full complement of players, that he's earned some more time?
Well, I think you have to. You have to see him as – you know what's funny is, you know, I'm always up for a casual beverage and a conversation. And after the game, some guy comes up to me and goes, what'd you think of Turris? I said, I thought he was great. He looked good. And he said, well, he lost puck battles. And I was like, if you want Kyle Turris to go out there and battle and dig in the corners, you're asking him to do the wrong thing. What you want him to do is put up points. And a goal and an assist is pretty good. You know, he's not going to go in and out-muscle guys in the corner. He's a guy that's going to dig and dig for points, and that's what you're looking for. You know, Wayne Gretzky never beat me in a – I played against him, and he never beat me for a puck paddle. I won every time, but he'd dish it around me more than once. And so I think you have to look at Kyle and say power play, he was good. He on both sides, both half walls, I think he looked really good. I think he deserves another chance to go out there and play on that power play because – he really set the tone for what you're looking for. With Johansson out, I thought he filled in really nicely there.
Now, Hal, we had Lobby on earlier today, and we were talking about the defense and how it seems to have gotten better and trying to, you know, find that even that happy medium between, you know, scoring a lot of goals, which they were doing at the beginning of the season. He said, listen, we didn't put emphasis toward it. It just happened. But then, you know, giving up a lot of goals. How do you find that happy medium? And do you think in the last couple of games the Predators have found that?
Yeah, I think a lot goes with confidence. And Laviolette can say he wasn't planning on scoring a bunch of goals, but that was exactly what they talked about all offseason, the power play and point production, getting goals. And so it came out and they were flying. And when you're confident in the offensive side, you're out there making plays and it just snowballs and you make more plays. And then all of a sudden you forget about the D zone and then that snowballs. And then, okay, we have to pull it back. I really think you rely on structure defensively and offensively, you're relying on creativity. So, you know, sometimes when you're not scoring goals, you have to rely on that structure, rely on that defensive zone, the protect around the net, take care of the house, and don't let them get grade A scoring chances, and then let the offense come as it may. It's a delicate balance, but it's really just about in the defensive side playing the right way, and then when you do have your chances offensively, make those plays, be free and have the confidence to make the plays. In the defensive zone, that's not where you make your offensive plays. You wait till you get in the offensive zone and then do it there. So it's just a little, you know, like you said, towing the line a little bit.
Hal, we talk to C. Mace obviously every week, and he has a unique perspective on the goaltending situation here, seeing as what he did in his career. And, you know, UC Saros has had a stretch where he's been really good. Pekka started out the season incredibly well. He's struggled a little bit but was brilliant on Friday against Carolina, and then really good again against Tampa. You know, you don't have to have a guy right now who's the guy, but don't you have to have sort of a finalized pecking order, at least, you know, no pun intended there, coming around March and April? Don't you need to have that more solidified, in your opinion?
Right now, I don't think – I think the competition is good for him. It's such a tough position because – you know, if you're just off a little bit on a goal, you let in a bad goal. And then did you have a bad game because you lost because of that goal? And then, you know, do you change the guys out just because of one bad goal? I really think you have to look at the full scope of their work and what they do and what they bring to the team. And so I think there's a lot to be decided between now and when you have to make that decision. You know, I think you do want to have a good idea of who's your guy, just so that you're not overly worried about it. But I look at what Pittsburgh did between Murray and Fleury. Those guys were going back and forth, and really any one of those guys deserved to be in the lineup and playing every night. So I could see that being the case with Nashville. I think both of these guys, obviously Pex deserves to be there. He's awesome. I don't think he's lost a step. I think he's sharp as ever. And Saros is just getting better and better every day. So I think it could be a good battle right to the end. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the team wants to play for both of those guys. So I don't think that will be an issue. So tough decisions for Laviolette to make, but I think right now you just got to play out the season and play both those guys.
Yeah, right now it's a great problem to have. Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's. What is your, real quickly before we let you go, what does your post-Thanksgiving sandwich, what are the ingredients on your post-Thanksgiving sandwich?
You know what? I was just, it's a great question because I sat there yesterday having lunch and I'm just like, how long do I keep doing this? Like, when do I say,
every day.
Okay, this is
every day, Hal.
Enough.
It's never too much. It's never too much.
It's been every day, but it's, I'm heavy on cranberry.
Oh,
I love a little bit of mayo, not too much mayo. You have to toast the bread. I love salt and pepper. The more salt and pepper, the better. But I like to, here's the thing is I'll shred the turkey a little bit on one side. And then I'll have the dark meat and leave it a little bit chunky on the other side of the sandwich. I mixed it up the other day and put, like, I had a little bit of sausage stuffing.
Hell, how big is this sandwich?
Dude, you're making my day. The cranberry, other than the cranberry sauce, you're an American hero, Hal, until you put the cranberry sauce on it. And then you totally screwed it up.
I like a little bit of sweet and sour, you know, the sweet and salty.
Let me ask you something. When is the other time of year where you have cranberry sauce?
Zero times of the year for me.
When does that happen?
Are you out of the can guy or homemade?
Homemade.
Okay, at least you got that right.
Yeah.
I don't ever eat cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce, literally, I'll go 365 days this year, and not one time will I think about cranberry sauce that I want it. I'll never have a craving.
Okay, well, you know, that's your fault. You're missing out.
Fair enough.
And Thanksgiving time, it's delicious.
Hey,
I'm going to have one more today and then maybe call it quits.
I made it till yesterday. I had a cold turkey sandwich yesterday. I made it there and that's it. Hal, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Big finish when we return right here on Morning Drive. Always a big finish here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and that means at 9:45, it's time for the Daily Rewind. Let's rewind it back, Marquise. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, Thursday edition. Welcome to the program. And I did not get a chance to have any commentary about this, but Kyle Turris, of course, back on Tuesday.
Yes.
Scores the
big
goal.
Splash,
sparks the offense, so I expect we see him again. What was the vibe on the program yesterday about Kyle Turris? I did not get a chance to instantaneously react with you and Corey yesterday.
I think the vibe was good. It was one of, you know, relief. We had Adam on, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit. It was, I think, what all of us noticed, myself, Corey, and talking with Adam, is when he scored the goal, you just saw that. Because he didn't celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, he had that
relief.
Look on his face
relief,
like,
man.
You know what? This is what I can do.
Flipping the bird and I told you so is always a great combination.
Exactly.
Think about your marriage. Think about the situations in which you would say, I told you so.
I told you, baby.
And we're able to flip the bird and get away with it.
Exactly.
There's not many of those. In America. Unless, people have different relationships.
Yeah, you know, you probably could flip the bird all day, every day.
There's probably plenty of relationships where there's lots of chops busting. Rutgers bringing in Greg Schiano. He had his press conference yesterday, but he was asked a little bit about sort of the differences in the hiring processes both at Tennessee and at Rutgers, and he couldn't help himself. He says, and he just had a little one sentence for Tennessee fans, and he said, quote, "I think reflecting on it just shows Jersey people are a little sharper. They get it." Number one.
That is a great line.
It's kind of funny.
I just want next year, Greg Schiano turns this program around. They win seven games. I just want them to
win
seven games.
You know that's not
going to
happen, right?
I just want them to win seven games. All right. And UT wins 7-8 games. And then they meet up in a bowl game. Oh, I would love it.
It would be great. So you can just play on a fractured shoulder.
Yeah, if he wants, if the medical team clears you and you go out there and you can't do any more damage to it than what it is, then, you know, it's up to the player to then go out there. You give him the information. You tell him, hey, listen, maybe we should, you know, you should sit out and be rehabbing and whatnot. Or you say, hey, listen, you can't damage it no more than what it is. But here's the thing to me. Josh Jacob, who does it help? When you announce to the world, there's a reason why the Oakland Raiders didn't say anything. It's a reason why coaches are coy when they talk about injuries. It's a reason why Peter Laviolette is the greatest at that.
Peter Laviolette now joining us here.
Decisions, when you make those decisions, they're tough. I really liked the way our team had played. We had won 3 out of 4. I thought we should have won the Vegas game. We played well enough, did the right things, and went down to Carolina and won that game. And so we played the Florida game. I don't think we played particularly well. And we, I think with Arvey being out, we were going to try Duchesne up on the wing. We've got quite a few centermen right now, and I think they're natural centermen between Johansson and Bonino and Sissons and Kyle. Johansson, so all these guys are natural centermen, and just trying to find the right lineup and the right mix, and you know, it changes. And I do think you need certain elements in your lineup on a nightly basis, and toughness and penalty killers. So it's not, they're not just simple decisions. There's a lot that goes into it, and give Kyle a lot of credit because he came back and he played a good hockey game. He produced, he won a big faceoff that led to a goal, and on the power play he, you know, he was able to thread one through on a one-timer, which was a really great shot, so it was good for him.
Derek is—he literally is dabbing in the studio. I thought that was dead.
If he said I thought it was dead, and you asked me in my ear, hey, do people still?
So I knew something before dab? Derek.
Yeah, because he was like, hey, do people still do? But he didn't even say do people still like dab. He said do people still, and people on radio land can't see, but can people? And then he did it.
It's like 8-year-old kid. It's like 8-year-old kids at like youth group now is the only ones that are doing it. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here.
I mean, this game to me, I mean, the Oakland has to win. They played 2 straight bad games. That Coliseum is going to be absolutely nuts. Next to last game, the ticket prices suggest, I mean, it is going to be packed and rocking. And, you know, traveling out west isn't always great to the Titans. So even though it was already like, you know, can you get over the hump at Indy? Okay, now you've proved us something. You know, that's a win that, you know, maybe changes some minds. But you got to go right back out there and not give this one up. And if you can get it, now you've got 2 out of 3 with Houston and the Saints in there, and you got a chance. I mean, yeah, it really is. There's no scenario among all of them that will surprise me.
Marquise Munson producing, or it's just Munson, I guess, right?
It's not Marquise.
Producing name.
Yeah, man, stop putting my full name out there.
Sorry,
man. Don't be calling me my government name on the radio, man.
I know I say it on my ID, but man, you don't got to say it all loud like that.
Stop calling me by my name. How dare you?
Call me by my government name, man. People looking
that's
for
like,
me.
That's like when you get in trouble.
People looking for you.
That's like when you get in your trouble and your mom calls your full name.
Exactly.
My mom used to give middle name and all. Marquise. I ain't going to say my middle name.
Why not? What's your middle name?
Lamont.
What's wrong with that?
M-A-L-M.
She'd be like, Marquise Lamont Munson.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
everybody knows. When you get the middle name, you know you're in trouble with mama.
In the hood, it was like, man, don't say my government name, man.
20-year-old man tries to rob his coworkers pretty much after calling in drunk. Now, mind you, I already don't like you for calling out, especially if you work a restaurant on a weekend and somebody calls out. That just messes up.
That's the worst.
That just messes
up the whole schedule.
It messes up all the operations. So not only do you do that, but then you come in here and you try to rob us afterwards.
Yeah. Was he really drunk? Or he was just using that as an excuse.
He called his employer and said, quote, he was intoxicated and couldn't go to work.
So like, he tried to rob the place. Did he have a mask on? Did he have something on? Or he just came in there like, hey, give me the money.
What's funny?
But he just—he tried to rob the place drunk.
Yeah, freeze, man.
That's probably why he was trying to do it.
Hey,
put your heads up. Put your heads up.
I just started laughing at you.
Like, dude, are you really drunk?
I was like, are you serious, man? Clock in so you can help. I'm serious, man. Put your heads up. This is a stick up, man.
He starts laughing at you.
I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. It's the dadgummest thing.
The dadgummest thing I've ever seen. Nobody doesn't want you in the playoff, Dabo. Settle down.
Stop it, Dabble.
Settle down.
Man, whoa.
Did you call
him
Dabbles?
Yeah,
Dabbles?
Stop it.
Little Dabbles?
Dabbles, stop it. Little Dabbles.
By the way, make your picks now for the three college football underdog teams you think will win this Saturday. Weekly winners will win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 3rd. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play now. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You have to take, like, Georgia and Cincinnati and Baylor, I guess. I don't know. Ain't nobody picking Virginia. Mm-mm. All right, boys. Back tomorrow. We'll preview a huge weekend of college and pro football and a big Preds game against the Devils as well. PK Subban back in town. We'll do all that tomorrow. For Derek Mason, my name is Braden Gall. Marquise Munson producing. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.